Hello, IIEX.
Yes.
Such a bizarre experience, but in a good way, right?
It is. It is. It's my first time at this conference. I know you've been here for a little while, so
yeah,
you've been here a few times, right?
Yeah. Let's introduce ourselves.
Yeah, why don't we do that?
Hey, everyone. We're so glad you're here. I'm Elisa Monjadas. I'm a marketing leader and executive coach.
I'm Courtney Copeland, and I'm an accountability and wellness coach.
And I'm Dr. Mirari Simeon, an activator of talent, HR executive, author, and working mom.
If you're anything like the successful multicultural women we interview on the What Rules podcast, you've learned that you can't do it alone. And we teach women like yourself to outsmart the game to get ahead in your career.
We're really talking about those rules that we grew up with as women and the expectations that have been placed on us.
Our mission is to change the face of leadership at What Rules Podcast. As you listen to our talented guests, take note and take action. Go ahead, go and break those rules.
My name is Dr. Mirari Simeon. I'm an HR executive and co-CEO of Zera Consulting.
Awesome. Mirari, this is so fun when we get to host these podcasts and be at events like this. I'm Elisa Monjadas. I am Managing Director of Stories Bureau, and I am also co-CEO of Zera Consulting.
Yay, us!
Yes, we are all about doing leadership different. Zera helps organizations equip leaders of multicultural women for corporate success.
So why are we here today? Let's let everybody know.
We are here because we want to bring forth some of the opportunities that we have seen in specifically in the insight space for multicultural women. We have a lot of research to go over today, but we want to highlight the benefits of advancing multicultural women in insights and provide practical strategies to transform leadership together.
So let's get right into the stats.
Okay.
Let's do this. So many of you probably have heard that only 1 in 4 C-suite leaders are women, and only 1 in 20 are actually women of color. So what does that translate into? For every 100 men who are promoted from entry levels to manager positions, only 87% of women are promoted, and only 82 actually women are promoted, not percent. So out of 187 women, and out of 182 of them are women of color. So, Elisa, what are you seeing in the market research place?
Well, I did do some research on market research, and I found from the Idea Council, the Insights Association, they didn't really have research on multicultural women specifically, but they did have research on women. Women make up 60% of full-time salaried professionals in the insight space. But, you know, it was interesting. Once you get, so there's, it. Imagine a chart and you see at the top 60%. And then when you go, the chart goes down to 52% when you see these women in senior leadership. And then it goes down even further when you see women on corporate boards in the industry.
Yeah.
And then let me just make it worse.
Don't do it.
The women who are in market research make the least amount of money. So they are the most prevalent in the industry, and they are most likely to make less than 300K. But market research industry men are very likely to make 300K and above. So if you're listening and you know what you make, and you decide what side of the coin you want to be on.
All I see is opportunities. That's what I see.
Yeah, we do try to keep this positive because the thing is, like, these are, it's important to look at this research, but also see where you can make a change. And what we do on our podcast is we've interviewed over 100 women in the C-suite or senior leadership in corporate America who have advanced in their careers, and they do it by breaking the rules because the system is not set up for you, so you got to work around it, work the system. And we're not talking about breaking the law. We're just talking about doing things your own way in a way that works.
Yeah, and that is so important, especially as we think of the benefits the benefit of breaking those rules and getting more multicultural women into leadership and insights at the end of the day. So one call out right away is we would love to see additional data on multicultural women in the research space. But the other piece is when you think about the benefits, let's just throw some stats out there. 75.54 million women are employed in the United States. This is an increase from the previous year, and it doesn't look like it's stopping, okay?
A lot of women.
Yes, yes. And guess what? In the U.S. alone, women control $11 trillion in assets. Okay, let me say that for the people in the back, $11 trillion in assets. And that number is expected to grow to $30 trillion by 2030, according to McKinsey. So we have to pay attention. There are benefits to having multicultural women in these positions.
And when you talk about the insights industry, when you have more multicultural women in leadership, you're really future-proofing the industry and also the brands that we serve. So we know that according to Catalyst Research, women of color will be the majority population by 2060. It might sound far away, but it's actually not that far away. And so when we put these multicultural women into positions of power in the insights space, we're simply mirroring the demographics of the country. And we're also helping the industry understand cultural contexts that matter, both through research methodologies, through interpretation, and we're bringing a multicultural voice to the brands that we serve.
Yes, it's multicultural voice has never been more important, especially as organizations think about future-proofing their organizations. It is an important voice. It is the way of the future. And the sooner they can get in there, the sooner they can get into the white space and really reap those benefits to their organizations.
The other thing is that women, we, all women, not just multicultural women, but we do leadership different. We lead differently than men. There's a ton of research about how we are really good at building more inclusive cultures. Women are more empathetic. They are more naturally more long-term thinkers. They are better listeners, and they're really good at sharing information. So if you think about the individual contributors in your space, when a lot of times what happens is there's a lack of information, basic things, whether you're starting a new job, whether you're moving up, whatever you need to know, if you have a woman who is your manager or your director, she's more likely to share basic information just because women tend to share a lot. So it's a really cool way to translate the skills that women already have into leadership. And we've also found that because of that, when you have a woman who's listening, it creates psychological safety. And you've all heard about the Great Resignation. Let me tell you that according to Boston Consulting Group, 12% of employees with the lowest levels of psychological safety said they were likely to quit within this year. This is January 2024.
Yes.
They said they're quitting this year if they do not feel safe at work.
And this is important because when you want to create psychological safety, it's only going to improve and provide a benefit to the organization and ultimately to the bottom line. But let's keep it real. Simply throwing a mix of people in the room doesn't guarantee performance. So let's just put it out there. It does require inclusive leadership. And this is something, as you mentioned, that women do well. So there are three indicators, actually, that the McKinsey study covers, and that's equality, openness, and belonging. And the study found that a high negative sentiment about equality and fairness is a huge opportunity across almost every industry. So inclusive cultures are critical when you think about multicultural women in the workplace. So let's talk a little bit about what those benefits are. When you have inclusive culture, according to the Harvard Business Review, it shows a direct impact to performance. And I know that this is something that organizations want, right? Because ultimately you want to continue to increase productivity, innovation, and all those great things that come to it. So teams with inclusive leaders are 17% more likely to report that they are high-performing teams, 20% more likely to say they make high-quality decisions, and 29% more likely to report behaving collaboratively. So who doesn't want a collaborative team? Who doesn't want to have more innovation, more productivity, more impact in their organizations? At the end of the day, this is a win-win for organizations. If you are an organization out there listening, and you're, and when you look at your inclusive index, it's low, let me tell you, there is a huge opportunity for you to improve high performance in your organization.
But Adi, you're an HR executive. You've been in this space for a long time, worked for a Fortune 50 company. What do you think that is important for multicultural women to understand when they feel like I'm the only one, or am I really going to make a difference? Like, you hear all these stats about leadership and inclusive teams, and it's all really important. But what would you say to the women that are like, okay, like, I don't even see that around me. What difference can I make?
Here's what I would say to you. The world has been waiting for you. That company has been waiting for you. That department, that table has been waiting for you. And sometimes you may feel that you're alone, but the impact that you're making, the shadow that you're casting across that organization, that industry, it is one that impacts people that you will probably never meet. And I could just say that from a personal example. I've been at the table where I've been the only one. And I've also known the power that you hold being at that table when you're the only one. You are now, there are people looking at you who are like, oh, wow, there's somebody that I could relate to. But you also have the power to mentor people, to bring other people along. And not only that, you have the voice that the table has been waiting for. You have the most powerful voice right now in the industry because, I mean, at the end of the day, when women hold so much economic power, our voice is powerful. It is up to you whether you accept and wield that power correctly. So I would say leverage it. Look at it as a privilege that you earned, that you work your butt off to get there and be at that table. Use it. Do not leave your power at the door.
It's been interesting talking to women at this conference who heard that we were doing this podcast episode and that we want to see more multicultural women and insights, leading insights. And we've got a lot of women tell us that they're tired.
Yes.
And they're like, I'm trying. And it's hard. And I just want to say, if any of you are listening or to this, to live or to the later broadcast, like, we are here rooting for you because we see the change that you can make. And we are so excited that you're here and you're in this place, and just keep going.
You know, it's so important because it is true. We met several women in the past few days and they've told us, the first thing they said is, I'm tired and I am trying. But it goes back to another point. It is so important that you take care of yourself mentally, physically, spiritually, whatever it is that you need to do to take care of yourself, because you are needed more than you know. And if you step out of the game, there is no way that you can win the game. So we need you in the game. Even the best athletes in the world take time to recharge. So whatever that looks like for you, make sure that you take the time, because you may not feel it sometimes, but trust me, you are needed. You are powerful. You're important. And there are so many women looking up to you. They may not tell you, but trust me, they are. And the people that you're inspiring, you may never meet, but know that one day somebody's going to say a story about you because they saw you, they heard you, and they just felt that they could accomplish something that was a dream for them at the time.
I know a lot of women that we've talked to on our podcast, a theme that has come up over and over again is don't do it alone. And we know that as multicultural women, number one, you're very resilient. You're Black, Asian, Latina, like, you are all resilient cultures, and you have been through it before. You've probably done a lot on your own, but we've learned this lesson so many times.
Yes.
You know, you just
guilty,
like, get into this, like, superpower, like, I can do it, because let's face it, you can.
Yes.
But also, you burn out.
Yes.
You don't take care of yourself. In our case, we eat lots of cake.
We love cake. If anybody's listening, we love cake.
Drink extra coffee. But when women, there's literal research. Like, yes, go find people who don't look like you to mentor you. We're going to talk about this, mentoring, sponsorship, and coaching. But also having a circle of women who can support you no matter what is so, it's, there's research that says you will not survive without them. And if you have a close circle of friends, I'm not talking like a posse. I'm talking about two or three people who encourage you and support you. If you don't have that, go be that for someone else, because we all need it.
You know, I wanted to go back to the what you said about resiliency. That's one of the capabilities that you hear now a lot of organizations are looking for. We're looking for somebody who's resilient. And I go back to multicultural women. I mean, the things that we've been able to accomplish when the whole world was going against us, whether they thought they were or not, or maybe unintentionally, but we've been able to do so much. And from a cultural perspective, we're like rolling up the sleeves and just getting it done. We've grown accustomed to that. You know, I can't say it enough. This is our time. We are so resilient that if you're standing here or you're listening to this, you're more resilient than you know. But here's what I want to say. Sometimes that resiliency that we have is a derailer, because we are so used to doing it on our own and being so resilient that we're like, oh, I could do this. Okay, I might be, you know, crawling and not sleeping and doing all these things, but I can do it. Be watchful of that skill, that superpower that you already have, because too much of a good thing is bad and it could seriously hurt you, because that's when it goes in, right? I'm tired. I'm doing so much. I'm doing it on my own. But do you really have to do it on your own?
Right. Yeah, I have a friend. She carries all the burdens on her back at all times, and I don't even see her until she's completely crushed to the ground. And I'm like, dude, well, you know, it doesn't have to be that way.
I'll give you a live example that has nothing to do with business today, but all right. So I'm here at this conference and I'm texting my husband. Hey, you know, don't forget that our daughter has this soccer practice. I'm going to get a ride for her and for our son. And he's like, I got this. I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. You do have it. Like, why am I doing this? A lot of the times we just
take it on ourselves.
We take it on. For no reason. He's got it. My kids are going to get to practice today, even though I'm not there.
I'm glad. Okay, so we said this session was all about rule-breaking strategies to advance multicultural women in the workplace. I want to talk about three ways that industry professionals can actively engage and champion women, multicultural women in the workforce. So this is for multicultural women, and this session is also for their leaders, because we know with the women that we have interviewed, we know one of the ways they have broken the rules is through sponsorship. So the Center of Talent Innovation found that 71% of sponsors are the same race or gender as their proteges. So if we think about the workplace, even just what I was saying earlier about women and insights, like the people at the top are typically men, but the women that we have interviewed who are in senior leadership, somehow they got there, they broke the rules, they went and sought out white male sponsors. And, you know, we talk about sponsorship, mentorship, and coaching. Something that I love that you say, Merari, all the time is sponsor. If like you don't do anything, get a sponsor.
Yes. Like women can advance, women in general, multicultural women in general, with a mentor, and we'll get into that a little bit more. But you cannot reach the top without a sponsor. And that's just, it's plain and simple. But let's step back a minute. So what is a sponsor, right? So a sponsor is an advocate. They're the person who can and will use their influence and leadership status to advocate for your advancement. They're the ones that are in those rooms that are making high decisions and have the power to say, I want her. She's ready.
When you're not even in the room.
Exactly. Like, you might not even know about it. And I could tell you, I have an example years ago, when I first started my career, I always remember getting all these assignments, and it wasn't until after that we're like, oh, well, Ray, who that was his name, Ray Fino, he would say, Merari got this. Give her that assignment. And I can tell you right now, if it was white male, by the way, if it wasn't for that, I would have had the opportunities and the experience. You know, a lot of the times when you look in the marketplace or when you're recruiting for a role, people are like, oh, they don't have the experience. Of course they don't. They weren't given the opportunity. In this case, this sponsor gave me the opportunity, and he never, ever told me that he was giving my name out there. It was always by somebody else, by another leader. When I'm like, well, how did I get this project? They're like, oh, Ray said this was yours. So to me, that's the power of a sponsor. And we all need them. We all need them in our lives.
And I need to bring it back to the money, because there is a study by PayScale. When we saw that research by the Insights Association, I was like, what is going on with these women in Insights? Because they need to be making more money. And let me just tell you, their PayScale did a survey, and they said women who have white male sponsors end up with higher pay. Like, just period.
Yes.
So if you don't have one, go find one.
And this is so important, because a lot of the times I feel there is a disconnect, right? And it's about building those relationships and really getting to know and just giving the multicultural woman an opportunity. She already has the education. She can do the job. She just needs the opportunity. And it's interesting, because when we look at, we have seen some research that they call it the pie, right? The number one reason for women to go up is exposure. Like, people sometimes think they're like, oh, it's performance. I'm going to work and work and work, and I'm going to move up.
I'm going to put my head down and work hard, and someone's going to notice.
And that is not it. That is not it, people. It is, you know, there are studies that show that 60% of it is exposure. Now, don't
just
get me...
Just knowing the right people, getting in the right rooms. I mean, we're in the right rooms with a lot of people today at this conference.
And that's how sponsors can help. Sometimes it's not giving them the role, but it's opening those doors for other people to know that she's there. Mm-hmm. And it's something as simple as that. I think sometimes, and many organizations want to build these drawn-out programs. No, just have that opportunity. Open the doors at the end of the day. Give her exposure. She will do the rest. Trust me, she's educated. A lot of research shows that women in general and multicultural women are getting more degrees, more education. So it's only a win-win. It's a win-win for her and a win-win for you and the organization at the end of the day.
Let's transition to mentorship. So let me give a definition to mentor. Mentor is someone who's been in your shoes before and can give you advice. So a sponsor is someone who's going to advocate for you when you're not there. A mentor is someone that's going to get right into, you know, your day-to-days, the challenges that you have on a day-to-day basis.
It's a safe space too.
Yeah. And we actually don't have any research about whether you find a mentor of the same race or gender. I don't know if it makes a difference. Do you know? I'm curious now.
I don't. But what I would say, a mentor is definitely someone that will tell you if you screwed up and not use it against you. Mm. And this is why it's so important. Because, you know, if a sponsor knows you're screwing up, they're not going to open an opportunity for you, right? So at the end of the day, this is why a lot of people confuse the two. And yes, a mentor can lead to be a sponsor, but at the end of the day, a mentor is somebody that has your best interest at heart and is going to tell you how it is. Like, you know what, Merari, that's not the way you should go about it. Here is some feedback that's going to make you better. But whoever it is, whether it's a male or a female, it doesn't matter. The key element here is somebody you trust and is not going to use the feedback that they give you against you when the time is right and in a room where in closed doors where you're not available.
And a mentor can be someone in another organization. They don't even have to be at your own workplace. It can just be someone else, ideally in your industry. If you're looking for a professional mentor, I would recommend finding personal and professional, for that matter. Most people will tell you mentorships mentorship is really good and important, but they don't necessarily have one.
And there is research that says that is very critical, important. Actually, a recent study from the Nazarene University says that 76% of the people that were interviewed believe mentorship is important, yet only 37% actually have a mentor. So it goes both ways, right? From as a multicultural woman, you have to do the work and you have to get the mentor. But I also see this from a white male perspective. This is your opportunity as you want to move, take action to support multicultural women, get a mentor. Get a multicultural woman mentor who can help you also understand what are the things that you could do for her, that you could have an impact in the workplace. You typically have a position of power, and this is your opportunity to get mentored by what I would say is the leading powerful voice in the industry right now. Mm-hmm.
Let's get to coaching, one of my favorite topics as an executive coach myself. You know, when I first started coaching, I had a lot of men hiring me because they read an article somewhere that said coaching was going to help them advance in their careers. And when it came to women, they were the most hesitant to receive help and professional help. And it was really a barrier for them to think about, like, advancing themselves.
Yes.
And it's such a shame. There are a lot. You don't have to have a coach. We just talked to Artie from Snap, and she said she had an executive coach.
Yes, she does.
Because there are certain things that she didn't learn in her career, like pay negotiation, getting promotions, being in the right room at the right time, looking at competencies that are lacking, and how do we fill those gaps. And coaching is so great for someone who really wants to advance. You're not getting advice, but you're listening, you're talking through, and the coach is just mirroring what your gaps are and showing you the blind spots. And then they're asking you, it's all through adult learning theory, they're asking you to find the solutions yourself. And when you find the solutions yourself, when you're trying to advance in your career, and obviously you have help, but the coach is there to guide you, to keep pushing you forward so that you can get to where you want to get faster, because they're focused solely on you the entire time. And they're really walking alongside of you, cheering you on so that you can be successful in everything that you do.
And I think one of the mistakes many women make, and we meet them, I know you've been doing executive coaching for a while, executive women in corporate America. And one of the mistakes that we see is that many of them wait till they're executives to get an executive coach.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like, get it now.
Well, you know, there's research. One of the things we love talking about is the broken rung.
Yes.
And that is what is happening. We see it with the research and insights, women and insights, but also women in general. The broken rung is that rung on the ladder where for some reason, once women get to management, the ladder breaks and they don't get passed through.
Mm-hmm. And it gets worse as they go.
Yeah, it gets worse. The secret sauce to helping close that gap and fixing that broken rung is finding women who are early in their career and coaching them, mentoring them, sponsoring them. So whether you're early in your, if you're early in your career, this is a time to get a coach.
Yes.
You are going to learn so many new things. If you know you're a high potential, high achiever, and you just keep hitting a wall, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe you have a sponsor, maybe you have a mentor, and you're still not breaking through, get a coach, because they're going to help you figure out where those little tweaks that need to be made should be made. And they're going to get you to that next place through very tiny steps.
Yes. Now, Alisa, I said it before, you've done executive coaching for many women. Is there one thing that you found as a theme in just all the women that you coach that consistently comes out?
So a couple of years ago, I worked with 50 individual women, senior leaders in the finance industry. And they all love developing other women.
Nope.
And they will spend years developing other women before they want to advance them. And the funny thing is they spend so much time developing other women that they don't develop themselves.
Yes.
And that they actually, and they're trying to get other women paid, and they're doing it all wrong, by the way. But that's another podcast. I'm sure there's an episode somewhere on our What Rules feed about that. But they're so concerned about everyone else that they put themselves last. And there are benefits to doing that. If you think about servant leadership model, you know, or if you've read the book by Simon Sinek, Leaders Eat Last, there are benefits to promoting other people around you. But women in particular have a really hard time advocating for themselves. We call it self-advocacy, and sharing their wins. So they might be doing all these amazing things for the organization, but they don't tell anybody about it.
And I have another example from when I was working with this other organization, and I took a look at the data. If you don't realize it by now, we love data. And when I said, hey, how many of the women are attending development programs? And the data doesn't lie at the end of the day. And let me just tell you, I was looking at the data globally. So this is not just women in one country versus the other or the US. And the number one theme that just was screaming at me is more men were attending development. It's exactly what you were saying, but the data also showed it for this particular company. And what's interesting about it was, it wasn't that they were not being offered the training, is they were choosing not to go. So then I started making a few phone calls and talking to them, okay, why didn't you attend? And they're like, oh, well, the P&L, or I need to be here for my team, or we don't want to spend in this side. And I'm sitting here like, okay, but your counterpart in the same team, he's attending. So this is huge. And the reason why I wanted to point it out, because as women, we need to also feed ourselves. We need to have a full cup, and we need to continue to develop ourselves. And by the way, when you're attending these programs or whatever it means, this leadership conference, places like here, you are exposing yourself to other people and meeting other people. And this is another way for people to get to know who you are and get to that 60% exposure that we talked about earlier.
So we're talking about breaking the rules to advance.
Yes.
And it sounds funny to just even call it breaking the rules, because these are actually rules that you have to break for yourself. And they are rules that other people have been following and doing all along the way. Maybe you just haven't been in the know, but now we're trying to get you in the know.
Yes, we're giving you the scoop. And what I would say is, for the leaders who see this, leaders who are white males, and you see that you're the woman that you've asked to participate, it's not. Yes, there may be other reasons around it, but then help her figure out what other ways to expose her to other people, but also continue to develop her. It doesn't all have to be attend something, right? There are other things. But keep that in mind as a leader. And these are the things that are so helpful for a sponsor, for a leader who is, I want to say, managing and really growing multicultural women in their organization. If you know these things, you can, it's a powerful tool that you now have to help her be successful.
One of my favorite questions that managers can ask as coaches, you know, because managers can be coaches too. Mm-hmm. And also, if you're married and you're a husband, you want to ask a great question to your wife. This same thing applies, just letting you all know. It's what's on your mind. If you can start a conversation with what's on your mind, don't worry. You're going to get a lot.
But listen, don't.
Wait, that sounded like it was a little personal.
No. I'm just saying, research shows that people who make the best leaders are the ones who listen and then take action based on what they heard. But yes, it works at home too.
And for the women, I would say, multicultural women, you know, if you take away one thing from today, it would be ask for help. You have done so much on your own. You've been doing it on your own. You might be super stressed out right now. And then when you have to come to a conference, you're like, I don't have time for this because I'm too busy. Ask for help, whether that's asking for help, like you were talking about, Madadi, at home, asking your friends or asking your coworkers, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. And if you want to be really intentional with your career, start creating those, ask for help intentionally by creating those relationships with sponsors, mentors, and coaches.
In our own research with all the women that we've interviewed in our podcast, this was the theme that we found. I mean, they've all said that they were able to get to the C-suite or, you know, or senior level positions by not doing it alone, by asking for help. So that is...
Remember that woman that we interviewed in Washington, D.C.? She had just moved there. She just had a baby.
Oh,
she
yes.
She went to the gym, and she just, like, handed her baby to someone. I mean, this is a while ago. And she was like, can you take care of my kid while I go work out? And the person said, yes.
I know.
And that, she was yeah. like,
I don't know
no
if I
choice.
Would do that. I don't know if I would do that. But...
She had no choice. She had
yes.
just, she had another job in the Philippines. She had just moved back to the States.
Yes, that's
with
right.
With a new child. And she's like, I just need to ask because I still have to take care of myself.
I do remember that. And we have tons of other stories of successful women in our podcast who have asked for help. So please ask for help. If you take anything from here today, is ask for help. It will change your world.
I know I said one thing, but I need to bring up one more, Madadi, because...
We're breaking the rules. We could bring up as many.
I would also say a second major takeaway is engage your community of women.
Yes.
Other multicultural women, white women. Women need women.
Yes.
And when it comes to getting the support that you need, there's nothing like leaning on a sisterhood to just create understanding for your day-to-day and really also give you tips. I mean, we have a couple of women that we've interviewed who have networks where they're sharing salary sheets.
Yes.
They're not just like talking, they're not just like chit-chatting. They're like talking about like, what are you making?
Yes.
And how are you advancing? And who are you talking to? What opportunities do you have for me? Especially if you're making those connections with women in the same industry as you.
And with more women going into the workplace, you know, there's one quote that I found. I don't know who said it, so I won't take credit for it. But it goes something like this. There is strength in numbers. And when women stand together, we can change our worlds and the world. And this is so important, especially for all of us as women. Because at the end of the day, when you win, I win. And this is just only going to make the world and the workplace and our lives a better place and more enjoyable at the end of the day.
Yeah. One of our themes is we want to see more multicultural women in positions of power. We want to champion the multicultural women here at IAX and in this insights industry because we really need you. And we want to see you at the top.
Oh, absolutely. And I would say for the men listening, my question to you is, have you sponsored a multicultural woman lately? And I'm not, don't tell me it was a year ago or two, like lately. And what are your plans to sponsor another one? Be intentional. If there is no intentional work, we're not going to move the needle. Too many times people are waiting for a policy, for a system, for something. And at the end of the day, the best cultures, the best leaders are the ones that don't need somebody to tell them. They go and they figure it out and they go and sponsor a multicultural woman.
All right. Well, that's a wrap, Madadi.
Yes. Well, it's been fun doing this live here with you today. And we hope that next time we're here, we'll look at that stats and we'll just be that much higher in multicultural women.
And thank you to IAX for hosting us today. We really appreciate it.
Want more advice on how to break the rules and outsmart the game to advance your career? Check us out on Instagram, YouTube, and our website, whatrulespodcast.com, for more insight from our guests and hosts, and join our community on LinkedIn, where we discuss rule-breaking strategies for multicultural women. What Rules is a project of Zara Consulting and is supported by the amazing team at Stories Bureau. This episode was produced by Alexandra Uresta with editing and music supervision by Joshua Ramsey and was engineered and mixed by Tim Ballant. Our podcast cover was designed by DeLeon Creative. Visit whatrulespodcast.com for more info, upcoming events, and all episodes of What Rules, including video, and make sure to give us a follow.